You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, everybody, into this, the latest edition of ESPN FC alongside Chaka Hislop, Steve Nichol. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us. Lots to get to in this edition of the show as Transfers Talk starts to dominate the global headlines. But let's start by discussing a move that is done. Karim Benzema, of course, making the jump from Real Madrid to Al Ittihad in the Saudi Arabian League. And there it is, an undeniable legacy for Karim Benzema at Real Madrid. The top line, the most important, five-time UEFA Champions League winner. Joining us for more on this, our colleague, Julien Laurent. I don't know if he's the guy who coined the term Karim the Dream, but he certainly is the man who made it famous. So, Jules, what's bigger here, Karim Benzema's legacy at Real Madrid or the hole that he now leaves behind at the club?
It's a good question, Sebi. Really good. I mean, the legacy, we mentioned it a little bit on the show on Sunday night already, in the sense that all those trophies you mentioned, the 14 years, that longevity in the biggest club in the world, the greatest club in the world, where even Cristiano didn't last that long. You know, there's not that many players who would have stayed at Real Madrid for more than 14 years like Karim did. And so all those things, I think, have to come in consideration where when we judge him, really, over those 14 years, the highs, the lows, the difficult start, of course, and Jose Mourinho, when Cristiano was at his best, the kind of second role that Karim took. And then, obviously, when Cristiano left, Karim took over the leadership, took over the key role, the X factor of that team with so much flair and talent and elegance, really. And those numbers of last season, especially, not the one that just finished, the one before when he won the Ballon d'Or, are just exceptional for someone at 34 years old. So incredible, the legacy and the hold that he leaves as well, because he was also the club captain. And I think he was just more than just a leader technically on the pitch. There was the aura, the charisma. I remember the Vinicius incident first at Gladbach, and then how he kind of worked with Vinicius to make Vinicius also where he is now. So all of that, whether Harry Kane comes in, Harry Kane won't have the leadership, won't speak the language, won't have the 14 years behind him at the club. So the hole, you're right, is almost as big as the legacy.
Stevie, you've got that experience. You've been at a big club when a big player leaves. What's the key to coping?
You know, the only thing that will happen is somebody else will come in and in not too distant a time we'll have forgotten about Benzema.
No.
It's just...
Come on.
Listen, clubs like Real Madrid and Liverpool that I was at when it was at the top, they move on quickly because they have to. You know, they're expected to, and they're expected to be as good the following week, the following day, the following year, whatever it is, when they lose one of their big players. And that's what will happen. But you can't take away from the legacy. I mean, my goodness, did you see that list? Mm-hmm. Five UEFA Champions League winners. And the fact that he won the Ballon d'Or, I think is a huge reason why he's now moving on. Because of his injuries last year, because of his age, and because there's nothing else really for him and the money, that's why it's all fallen. Well, that's why it's all fallen into place for him to go.
To Stevie's point, I totally agree. The game moves on. The game has a way of adjusting. We're just about on the other side of an era where Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi dominated this game, everything about it. And the expectation, while they win their pomp, is that when they do step down, both clubs would struggle to replace them. Now, we could have that debate about Messi and Barcelona all you like. Ronaldo steps away, and just when you're wondering, well, how do you fill that hole, to Stevie's point, somebody steps up and fills it. In this instance, it's Karim Benzema. Now, Real Madrid might not have that ready-made replacement right now. It may not come this summer. It may be a year or two. But the game has a way of adjusting, and especially when you're at a club like Real Madrid, it has a way of plugging those holes. You do not get legacies bigger than five Champions Leagues, 4 La Liga titles, 3 Copa del Reyes, all the individual awards that Karim Benzema proudly boasts of, including a Ballon d'Or. That is a legacy that long after Real Madrid have figured out who's their next number 9, long after Real Madrid have won their next Champions League or league or whatever it may be, you still can't equal that.
You got to say right now, somebody's already taken over from Benzema. Vinicius Junior. Mm. That's the man we talk about.
Well, really, we're talking about a replacement. Many people think it's going to be Harry Kane from Spurs. What's interesting about that is Spurs, of course, now have a new manager. And what does that mean for his future at the club and Kane's future at the club? Ange Postecoglou taking over after a great run at Celtic. Before that, success in the J-League. And before that, success at the international level with Australia. He's been hired, of course, by the Spurs chairman, Daniel Levy. Let's see what he had to say about his new manager and the man who will be taking over. Quote, Ange brings a positive mentality and a fast attacking style of play. He has a strong track record of developing players and an understanding of the importance of the link from the academy. Everything that is important to our club. We are excited to have Ange join us as we prepare for the season ahead. All right, for more on this, let's call on our colleague, James Ollie, who joins us now. Okay, James, I want to get your reaction to the hiring here, but also what you're hearing from Spurs fans. Because on yesterday's show, we heard about a little bit of snobbery from Spurs fans when it comes to the Postecoglou hiring.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But I think what this appointment is a reality check for Spurs as a club. The last two appointments they made in significant appointments, really, in Jose Mourinho and Antonio Conte, the idea behind those two were essentially, we have the squad, we have the players, we need a winner to get us over the line. Richard Pochettino did everything in his 5.5 years to take that club from where it was to a Champions League final, right to the brink, even almost winning the league 1 year, but they didn't win anything. And those appointments were with that thought in mind, that this squad is good enough to go and now win trophies, we just need a manager to get us there. I think what this search has shown is that actually, although Antonio Conte lost his job over it, I think there's been an acknowledgement internally that a lot of what he was saying was right, that this squad isn't, you know, one step away from winning a Premier League or, you know, is going to get to Champions League finals or even quarterfinals, semifinals on an annual basis. This squad needs a new identity. It needs several new signings and it really needs a sense of purpose brought back into it because it just lost its way in the last year, 18 months. And I think from that point of view, Postecoglou is a good signing. Now, is he a big enough name to convince some of the sceptical fans to maybe dampen their criticism of the ownership? Probably not. He's going to have to win some of them over. And of course, going back to the start of this conversation, really, is he a big enough name to keep Harry Kane at the club long term? Because that's the million-dollar question now Real Madrid are at the big.
Million-dollar question, $100 million question. Stevie, if you're the new manager at Spurs and you can have $100 million to start your rebuild or keep Harry Kane for maybe just 1 year, what are you doing?
Keep Harry Kane.
Really?
You cannot think for 1 second that Postecoglou is not going to get money whether Harry Kane stays or goes. It has to. And how are you supposed to entice a manager anyway without saying, look, we want to keep Harry and we're going to give you money as well to fill around Harry Kane. And if you're Postecoglou, you're off your mind if you want to take 100 million and think you're going to go and replace Harry Kane. And if you're Postecoglou, the one thing that should be in his head and would be in mine is, if I can do enough in this year, because if Spurs fans think that Postecoglou or anybody else is coming in, and then within a fortnight they're going to start winning the Premier League or Champions League or anything, can forget that. This is going to take time. But if I'm Postecoglou and I think, right, if I can get this club on the right track, Harry Kane will stay next year. Everybody seems to think that if Harry Kane doesn't go this year, he'll go next year. But if Postecoglou can get the team and the club in a position where it's going up the way, then there's no reason why Harry Kane doesn't go.
James, just real quick, I want to get, is this realistic what Stevie's talking about, that they could keep Harry Kane and go out and spend and build to this team? I mean, the history doesn't suggest that.
No, I mean, I don't think he's going to have huge money to spend. You've got to remember they've missed out on European football, and that is a big blow for a club the size of Tottenham. I mean, there are a number of players that they can sell, Lo Celso, Winks, Reguilon. There's probably five or six that you could trim from that squad who you'd be able to generate some money that way. And obviously, given that they're not in Europe, they're going to be able to streamline that squad. They won't have the volume of games that they would have if they were in European competition. So they could generate money that way. But I don't think he's going to have, you know, a huge amount there. And really, look, I mean, I understand what Stevie's saying about the Harry Kane situation. You want, if you can keep a player of that quality for another year, you do it. But there is a part of me that also thinks, I don't think he's going to sign a new contract. And if he's not going to sign a new contract, can a club the size and the financial resources of Tottenham afford to let a player of that calibre go for nothing in 12 months' time? I think there needs to be a very adult conversation here with all parties, which is to say, Harry, are you going to sign a new deal with us? And if you're not, and we can get what we believe is a good market price for him, and they're talking about 100 million plus, even though he's only got a year left, I think there's an argument to say for all sides, maybe this is the time to walk away and move on. Because, and I'm not about to say that Richarlison is anywhere near as good as Harry Kane, but they do have Brazil's number nine, or one of Brazil's number nines. They're waiting, ready and waiting to take that position up. And where Spurs have had major problems this season is not in attack. They conceded 63 goals in the Premier League. There's only five teams, and three of them got relegated, who had a worse record than that. They need two, maybe three defenders. They need a midfielder who's not Rodrigo Bentancur, who can pass the ball forward. They need a goalkeeper with Hugo Lloris, likely to now leave. You know, messing about with the front line is a little bit like doing your front garden while the building's on fire behind you. Hmm. They've got a lot of work to do at the back. And there is an argument for saying, if Harry Kane is not going to sign a contract, let's cash in, let's take the 100 million, and let's go and buy two, maybe three very, very good players at the back and rebuild and make sure, of course, that they're in Postecoglou's you know, the image, that they're the players that he wants to build this new, we keep hearing about this new sort of progressive, expansive style of football that he wants to play. Go and get those players who can fit that mould and maybe rebuild without him if he's not prepared to sign a new deal. Clearly, the best scenario here for Tottenham is that he signs a new contract, they protect their asset, they've then got the England captain and probably inevitably the Premier League's all-time top goal scorer for the next 3-4 years. But at the moment, it looks as though it's going to be a bit of a standoff from both sides, where Spurs say, we're not going to sell, and Kane says, I'm not going to sign a new contract.
Jules, where do you land on this? Keep Kane or start the rebuild without him?
I think it's a really good debate. I think James makes some valid points. The problem is, if you let Harry Kane go, suddenly the attack, that was not a problem this season because he scored 32 goals in all competitions, 30 in the Premier League, becomes a problem as well, because nobody will replace. You can't sign anybody who will do what Harry Kane does. It will do. You can sign a scorer, you can have Richarlison, but Richarlison will score, what's the highest that he scored, 12 goals maybe in a Premier League season at Everton, and that's it. So suddenly the attack also becomes a problem. You already have a problem at the back, like James explained well, but now the midfield is also a problem, and then the attack becomes a problem as well. I'm like Stevie, I would keep him, even if that means for him to leave on a free in 12 months' time, at least that gives you more time to prepare for the after Harry Kane, the post-Harry Kane era, and go and look for someone, a young striker that maybe right now you can't afford because you need to sign a goalkeeper and all those defenders that James mentioned. And really, there will be no money for a striker. So why would you let Harry Kane go? And even if you can reinvest that money, of course, I think it would be too much work on the team, too much rebuilding. Keep Kane and see what happens. If he doesn't want to sign a new deal, he goes on a free in 12 months' time, but at least you would have had time to prepare for it.
Just look at Bayern Munich. If you need any proof of what happens, if Bayern Munich can't replace somebody, what chance has Tottenham got?
The first thing Jules said there, I thought, sums this up perfectly. This is a really interesting debate because you can see both sides. And even as I'm sitting here, I'm a little bit torn. Truth be told, I don't think it's Postecoglou's decision at all, one way or the other, right? But let's play that game, shall we? It's his. He's going to talk to Harry Kane and he has to make that decision about his transfer fund. Right now, I'm thinking let him go. I don't think Daniel Levy is going to open up the purse strings to the extent that Postecoglou desperately needs. So if 100 million add to that, then all the better for it. Now, the question then becomes, Can he build a side? Can he start that building process, knowing that Harry Kane is going in a year? Or is he willing just to kind of do without from now, maybe take some hits on the chin early on? Stevie mentioned Bayern Munich. I would look at Manchester United and Erik ten Hag. How he made like difficult start to the season, Ronaldo on his way out, forcing his way out, but he was able to turn that club around without their leading goal scorer from the previous season, in all honesty. So it's
a chicken and the egg.
It really is.
Right.
But a new manager should be, in theory, thinking about the future more than the short term.
But to that point is, can we sit here and say Postecoglou is going to do what Erik ten Hag did? No, we can't. We just don't know. And I'm saying that we couldn't sit here this summer after the four game start that Manchester United had and anticipate.
We are talking about a team in need of a
rebuild.
It is relative. They didn't finish top four.
Hold on.
They need a rebuild.
I'm with James. They need a whole back line, right?
Okay.
But they ain't going to... James said they need three. I agree. At least three. Now, the one thing that I'll guarantee you is they will not be able to go out and sign three players who absolutely you know are going to step into the Premier League and play. Because they have to be experienced campaigners who know what they're doing, and that costs you money. Mm-hmm. Money that they won't spend. So that means you have to rely on your coaching. Your coaching staff.
How much
staff.
Better can he make this team then if you're not going
to... No, you've got to rely on your coaching staff and your scouting staff to go and find younger players. Mm. Now, in order to end up with the money to buy other players, you're going to have to get yourself into the top four and get into Europe. Because they don't have any money because they finished eighth in the league. If you get rid of Harry Kane, you're going to finish eighth again. So you can't afford in the long run, you're talking about the long run, mm-hmm. You can't afford to let Harry Kane go this year because you need his goals in order to get you up the league, into the top four, maybe. And then you get more money and then he goes and then you build from there. So you can't... It all feeds into each other.
Last word on this, Shaka.
The thing is, I think Postecoglou is just such... Well, managing is such an uncertain science that you just don't know which side you fall. Like Stevie drew the comparison to Bayern Munich, I drew the comparison to Manchester United, to your initial question about whether he's the right man. We don't know. It's about how Daniel Levy sees the culture of this club. And as we said, we're not sure that Postecoglou is the man really to go out and change the culture of this club. We have sat here and sang the praises of Roberto De Zerbi for the job that he did at Brighton. But who could have anticipated that when he first arrived on their doorstep?
Yeah, but he got left the team, though. He had a proper team.
But he made that team a whole lot better. But my point is, just given his CV, mm-hmm. nobody would say, you just wait to see what he does with this team. Nobody. It's such an uncertain science.
All right. Let's focus on the if that Spurs may rebuild. Let's say they do rebuild. One of the names that they're linked to, Harry Maguire. James Ollie, would this be a fit?
I mean, yeah, that's a really difficult question because I think what Spurs would get is a diligent professional, someone who's motivated to revive their career, got a clear target on a personal level for him because of Euro 2024, and Gareth Southgate's made it quite clear that he just can't sit on the bench at Manchester United for another year and expect to keep his place for England. They get somebody who obviously knows the Premier League. I think a lot of that, for me, comes down to how Postecoglou wants to play his football. If he wants his team to defend deep and sit on the edge of their own box, then I think Harry Maguire is a very good player. I think the problem that United have always had, and whenever England have had this issue, when they've tried to play with a higher line or they try to play a little bit more front foot in their style, when Harry Maguire is asked to turn or there are balls in behind him, he can look a very agricultural player. And so this really is a style issue for Postecoglou. I think if he wants to play counter-attack football and he wants to have that resilient base to then go and spring on sides, then Maguire can be a key part of that. If not, then I don't see fit at all. I suppose what you could argue, though, is, of course, with an England international with a lot of experience, you're probably going to get him for quite a good price. And if we're talking about Spurs not having a lot of money, then there is maybe a compromise there. But again... Does Postecoglou want a Harry Maguire who will only enable you to defend in a certain way? That's a question that only he can answer.
So you're asking for trouble as well. Not just on the field. You know, you've got sports fans who are the snobbery you're talking about because you're signing Postecoglou. You go sign Harry Maguire, they're all going, hold on, why are we signing a guy who's been an absolute nightmare, who's going to come here? So you're going to have a guy in your team right from the get-go who the fans can't wait for him to make a mistake to get on him, which is not only going to crush him, and then it's going to start affecting everybody else. So Harry Maguire is an absolute, and not just a gamble on the field, he's a gamble off the field as well.
I understand if Harry Maguire wants to go to Spurs. I do. I don't think it's the right move. I don't think it's the right fit. I think there's certainly right now an unrealistic sense of expectation about who they are from Spurs fans, that I don't think Harry Maguire serves well at all. I've used the example. As a former West Ham player and West Ham fan, I'd have him at West Ham. West Ham fans are more understanding of your ups and downs if you just keep showing up. And I think that's what Harry Maguire needs right now. A good run in the team, a fan base that will accept some of the dips as long as you continue to keep showing up and continue to get better. That's who West Ham are. I'm not sure that Spurs fans are at all like that and will allow him just to play his way back into the England captain that we know.
Did James call him a very agricultural player?
Oh, yes.
That's quite a word to pick out there. Jules, let's get your thoughts on this. Who do you suppose is happier, United fans at the prospect of Maguire leaving or Spurs fans at the prospect of him coming in?
Oh, that's harsh.
United fans,
that's agricultural.
Every day, man. That's not a question either. It's a terrible idea. And, I mean, he's on big money as well. Let's not forget, loads of money. So he's been offered to pretty much every club in the Premier League. I mean, the clubs that realistically would take him. So not City, not Liverpool, not Arsenal, but Spurs and others, for sure. But he's on big wages. He was on big wages at United. And let's not forget as well that Spurs right now don't have a sporting director because Fabio Paratici obviously has left his position. So it's difficult also to plan when you've got a new manager like Postecoglou coming with his own philosophy. Some players that he might want, maybe go back to Celtic and get someone like Kyogo, for example, who was very, very good for him. When you don't have a sporting director and Daniel Levy, who's always very involved, I guess, in all those transfer businesses, but still, it's difficult. So that adds a layer on top of who are we going to get, with what money, where, which position in priority. You know, Raya in goal, for example, great idea. He fits perfectly what Postecoglou would want from a goalkeeper, much better even than Joe Hart. But it's £40 million. It's a lot of money. And just to finish on Maguire, because James was rightly asking the question, Postecoglou doesn't play counter-attacking football. He plays possession football, high intensity, front foot playing, front foot defending, and Maguire can't do that right now.
Maguire then with a contract through 2025 with another year option. Christian Pulisic could be on the move as well, and he was actually talking about his frustrating season at Chelsea while at U.S. men's national team camp in Los Angeles this week. Here's what he had to say, quote, "It's been a really tough season for me personally and for our team, of course, at a club level. So for me, it's just about coming in here and having a fresh start and being able to be a part of a team that hopefully can come out and win some games. So I'm really excited to be here and just get some minutes on the field and just get back to being that confident player that I know I can be and just find my footing again. Just enjoying the game because it feels like it's been tough to do that lately." Now, last week on Football Americas, we spoke to U.S. legend Clint Dempsey about Pulisic's future. Here's what Clint had to say.
I think the most important thing is he goes to a team that he's going to be a major player for them, because I think it's tough to go from being a player that's kind of, you know, not being a major player for your team and then come to the States and having that pressure of being a major player for there as well. I think you need to be a major player wherever you're at. I think you need to be playing significant minutes. I think that's for our players to be doing the best that they can. They need to be playing week in and week out and playing with confidence for them to come in and be make more of an impact for our U.S. team.
He needs to be playing week in and week out. James, where is that for Christian Pulisic?
Well, it's at the moment, it's at what club will take him. I mean, Jules is talking about Maguire being offered around. You know, Pulisic's been offered around for quite some time. And again, this might need to be a difficult conversation with it between him and his representatives. Does he feel that he actually can play at an elite club in Europe as you say, starting week in, week out, every week? Or does he need to maybe take a slight step down to just rebuild his career after what's been obviously a difficult couple of seasons at Chelsea? I mean, I think Newcastle makes a degree of sense. I could see that from the point of view that, you know, his versatility across the attacking positions, he's available for a relatively small fee. There's talk around £20 million in that area. His wages would be quite high for Newcastle, but not prohibitive. And clearly they've got Champions League football now, and they need to expand their squad and in particular their attacking options. So I could see that, but whether he wants to stay in England is obviously another matter. You know, there's talk about a couple of clubs in Italy. I think AC Milan, maybe Juventus looking at him. I don't see him going to Manchester United. I think that was more a case of him being offered to United rather than United looking at Pulisic. So, yeah, I mean, some difficult conversations for him and his camp ahead this summer, I think.
Chaka, Newcastle, one of your former clubs. Would you have him there? And to the point that Clint Dempsey makes, would he get the minutes he needs there?
I think he'd get the management he needs at Newcastle United. Listen, man, if Newcastle come in for Christian Pulisic, if I have anything to do with advising him, I'm telling him, take it. Let's remember, Christian Pulisic has struggled to establish himself in a team that just finished 10th in Tenth? No, Chelsea were lower than that.
12th.
Yeah. 12th in the league. And kind of just given his stop-start and inconsistencies in English football, even dating back to his latter Dortmund days, right now, to get a team finishing in top four, in the top half of the Premier League, I can't think of any other. And the reason I say he'll get the management he needs is because I look at what Eddie Howe has done with Almiron. Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years ago, I give you a choice of Hugo Almiron or Christian Pulisic. Christian Pulisic would win hands down every single time. But he's made not just a player, but a significant contributor out of Almiron. If you look at the wide players at Newcastle, whether we're talking Willock or Murphy.
Gordon.
And Gordon's been a little bit odd for me. He likes... Eddie Howe likes the utilising that piece, which I don't feel good enough. But anyway, off the topic a little bit, I would have him. I think he fits how Eddie Howe likes to play. I think he does not bring the kind of ego and will allow himself to be coached to learn under Eddie Howe. And just as Almiron did, I think he has a significant role to play. And again, if I'm advising Pulisic, I don't think anybody else in the top half of the table maybe shows that interest.
Jules, what do you think? Should Christian Pulisic look for work in the Premier League, or should he go to one of the options that we're hearing on the continent, like Juventus, which seems to be the front runner for his services?
Yeah, it's a good question again. I mean, I think the Premier League, because it's the Premier League, it's the best league in the world, I think any player would really want to play there. To be fair, and especially if a club like Newcastle comes for you with the Champions League, with the fact that in terms of competition for places, really, when you think about it, okay, Almiron on one side, Saint-Maximin on the other side, who's not sure to stay, then you've got Joel Linton and Murphy, and that's it. So you will have game time, really. If Pulisic is serious, is focused, is committed, is good, he should be good enough to start ahead of those guys. So that's potentially really good. I mean, Milan also looking for a winger on the other side of Leao. And that could be we know that they like this kind of age, a bit of a bargain, especially if the price goes down, because they still talk about Chelsea being quite greedy in terms of the fee for Pulisic. James mentioned the 20, 25, maybe £30 million. They also could think that, hang on, we got Sterling for similar profile, maybe better than Pulisic, but similar profile with only 1 year left on his contract. And we, you know, we had to spend £50 or £55 million for him. So let's see how much Chelsea won first. And then that will also, I think, a lot will depend on that price tag, really. But I don't know, it's key for him. And I think where Chelsea missed something is the sense that they could have sent him on loan before, last summer, even in January again. And the good thing about the loan is that you give him a bit of time, he shows what he can do in another team, that team can then have an option to permanently sign him. But at least there's something there. Now with a year left on his contract, the loan, unless he extends and then has a guarantee that they would let him go, which is weird, you can't have that loan option anymore, which I think Chelsea really missed something there.
If you're a Premier League manager, and you know that this player doesn't want to come and be a second option. He has to start. Would you take him?
No. I don't understand where this confidence about Newcastle is coming from. I mean, how long has Christian been there? 3 years?
Four, yeah. 19, 2019.
What has Christian done at Chelsea to make Newcastle, who, by the way, were in the top four in the Premier League, are playing the Champions League? Please, somebody give me something, some reason why he is ahead of Almiron or Joe Linton or Murphy or anybody else. Mm-hmm. Because all those names you're talking about that he supposedly is ahead of have had great seasons. Christian, unfortunately, hasn't done anything for 3 to 4 years. So I don't get where the confidence is coming from. I think he's a talented player, but we haven't seen that since he went to Chelsea.
So, absolutely.
If he wants to play in the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, go to Newcastle, because that's what's going to end up happening. But he can stay at Chelsea and play in the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup. If he wants to play, I'm sorry, I don't see it being in the Premier League.
To that point, you're absolutely right. But which is why I say Eddie Howe is integral to this. Because while we can sit here and say, yes, Almiron has had an incredible season, we haven't been able to say that too often. Eddie Howe got the best out of him. Newcastle fans couldn't wait to get rid of Joe Linton. Eddie Howe comes in, change of position, and all of a sudden Joe Linton is one of the first names on the team sheet. My confidence in bringing Pulisic into Newcastle United is simply because of his skill set, in terms of he's quick, and Eddie Howe likes that. And Eddie Howe has gotten a tune out of players that I'm not sure many other managers in the Premier League would have.
All right, we'll leave Christian Pulisic alone for now. James Ollie, great to have you with us. Thanks for the time, and you can read his work over on ESPN.com. All right, let's continue here, because there's plenty more to discuss about Christian Pulisic's future, and we'll be talking about it on the next edition of Football Americas. Back to our usual time, Thursday night, and then three times next week as we get ready for the CONCACAF Nations League Finals.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, let's bring Jules back in now, because we got a report, Jules, that La Liga are going to approve Barcelona's financial plan. What does this mean for their efforts to bring Lionel Messi back?
Well, first, the concrete that this agreement brings is that they were able to register finally the new contract for Araujo, for Gavi, for Sergio Roberto, all those players that were waiting for their contract to be registered by La Liga. This is all done. And this agreement, this new agreement from La Liga, the green light, if you want, let's call it like that, also comes on the back of Jordi Alba leaving and the money saved from his wages. Same with Sergi Busquets, of course. The fact that Barca TV has closed as well. So they've saved money, and La Liga are happy with the process at the moment where the club and the direction the club is taking financially. However, there's still a long way to go before signing Leo Messi. You can make an offer, of course, now, and say, listen, this is what we're planning, this is what we want to do, and this is how much money we can give you, and all of that. And that would be positive. Certainly something would move forward in the return of Leo Messi to Barcelona and to Catalonia. But still, they're still way above the wage bill that La Liga want them to be in. So there's still a lot of cuts and savings to be made. Players to be sold, of course. We said that many times, but the likes of Ansu Fati and Rafinha and Kessié and those kind of guys will have to go, maybe even Koundé. Otherwise, it's not possible to sign Leo Messi. It's not possible to go and get Inigo Martinez, for example. Or whoever the number six that Xavi wants to replace Busquets will be. Right now, despite the green light from La Liga today, it's still not possible.
Jules, lots of love in Barcelona for Messi. Not the case in Paris. We saw him, of course, at his farewell getting booed by the PSG fans. The statistics suggest he had a pretty good season. So why so much vitriol towards this player?
Yeah, no, the numbers are really good. And his first half of the season pre-World Cup was quite outstanding, really, from someone of his age. I mean, I know he's the greatest of all time, but still at his age, to do what he did in the first half of the season was very impressive. The problem was the elimination against Bayern Munich in the Champions League, where he was non-existent home and away, in a team that struggled, not just him, it's everybody, but he struggled, and clearly was not at the level that I think a lot of PSG fans and people at the club were expecting him to be in those big clashes. That's why they signed him. They didn't sign him to be Angers or Brest or Lorient, teams like that, and win Ligue 1. They signed him to go and try to win the Champions League and be good against Bayern Munich and be decisive in those games, which he wasn't. This season and last season in the Champions League, back-to-back elimination in the last 16. This is not good enough. And the second half of the season was not very good. And from Messi, from the team, a lot of defeats, a lot of games where it was boring. There was just nothing in the way that team was playing. They were not even playing as a team. And I think that's where the frustration came from PSG fans. You might not find it acceptable, and I completely understand. You don't usually boo your players when you celebrate a league title, of course. But I think the frustration came from what was expected when he signed, but probably, and what we saw at the end of the 2 years, which was nowhere near what we expected.
Jules, let's stick with PSG. We're hearing a Julian Nagelsmann-Thierry Henry duo in the technical area. How would this work with that dressing room?
I think this one is fascinating. And to be fair, I think Thierry will refuse it. I don't think he will come. But the talks are ongoing right now. Nagelsmann is expected tomorrow in Paris. He will talk more with the PSG chairman, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, Luis Campos, the sporting director. Thierry Henry will be in those talks. I think he wants to be a number one and not a number two again, like he was with Belgium. But it's really interesting what Nagelsmann has done here. We know some of the problems that he had, some of the issues he had at Bayern Munich was the relationship with some big players, some big personalities within the dressing room. And Nagelsmann is not his man management sort of kind of guy. He's not like that. He's not a Zidane type or Carlo Ancelotti type like that. He's all about the tactics, all about the productivity on the pitch, about the intensity, how you play, the style. But that's it. He's not very good in your man management. Thierry is amazing at it, obviously, because he's Thierry, because of the player that he was, because of his personality and the way he talks, and he speaks Spanish and Italian and French and English. So for a very eclectic dressing room like the one in Paris, it's perfect. And you bring Thierry with you. And, you know, Thierry is huge. If you're Kylian Mbappe and Thierry Henry is your coach, yeah, there's a lot of respect there. So I can see why Nagelsmann had the idea. We still don't know, by the way, who came up with the idea. Was it Nagelsmann himself? Someone mentioned Thierry's name. But Nagelsmann and Henri have spoken already. Again, I still think that Thierry wants a number one job and not a number two again. But I like that Nagelsmann thought that way. And I think Thierry, if he agrees or had he agreed, would have worked really well for what Nagelsmann wanted. Thierry is the man manager and Nagelsmann is the tactical manager.
Xhaka, first instinct, Nagelsmann to PSG?
Doesn't make an awful lot of sense to me. And listen, I don't know Nagelsmann as a person, as a person that I believe PSG so desperately needs. I've sat here before and I've said, I don't think PSG's issues are anything to do with playing personnel. God knows they've had some, they have some incredible players in that dressing room. I don't think their issues are about the quality of manager. God knows some incredible managers have been through that club without bringing the success that the, certainly the spending and ownership would like to see. It's been about the culture of a football club. And as I sit here, I'm not sure Nagelsmann is a man who comes in and changes that culture. Changes a culture that is as deep-rooted and has been as long-lasting at PSG as it has. Even with Lionel, and not to blame Lionel Messi at all, it's only been a couple of seasons, even with Neymar moving on, I just feel that deeper down, there are bigger issues. And I'm not sure that Nagelsmann is a man who confronts those issues and changes this club for the better, for what they hope to be on the other side.
Is it an attractive job from a manager's perspective? Like, would you want that job or would you say nah?
I would want to. But I don't
just to get rid of us?
Yeah. What's the choice?
But Craig said yesterday on yesterday's show he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot barge pole or something like
that. Listen, Julian Nagelsmann, right? If what Jules is saying is spot on, which it normally is, and he basically doesn't have a personality in order to man-manage the players, then he's going to the wrong place, full stop. I don't care if you have the good cop with you and Thierry Henry, it's not going to work. PSG absolutely, 100%, need to get rid of the big-timers. And until they do that, you bring somebody in who's going to be happy to toe the line. Because if you're expecting a young guy like him, the way he is, to change the culture, as Jill said, it's not happening, and you're crazy. I mean, imagine, this kind of shows you what PSG are. Why are you even talking to a guy who, quite clearly, is not the right sort of character for this place? Why would you even talk to him? That just tells you what they're about there. They don't know what they're doing.
Jules, what are they about? You know, what's the plan moving forward to Stevie's point? And specifically, what role does Neymar play? Because Xhaka mentions him, and we talk about all these problems. It feels like a lot of them begin at his feet.
Yeah, I mean, it seems from what I'm being told about the negotiation and the discussion between Nagelsmann and Luis Campos, especially the sporting director and the club overall, is that he will be very happy with the squad that he's given. So he's not one to make demands in terms of signing, who's staying, who's leaving. I don't want him. I want to keep him. I want to do this. He will be happy with Ugarte, Asensio, the Thuram brothers, you know, whatever they can bring to the club. He knows that the club is trying, wants to sell Neymar, that they don't want Neymar to be there next season. He also knows, I think, that Neymar doesn't really want to be there either. But I think if Neymar was to stay, he would work with him. I don't think there's a problem there. The idea about Nagelsmann, one, I think he impressed, especially in Qatar, in Doha, when his Bayern Munich team destroyed his PSG team pretty much home and away in the Champions League. I think that was big. I think they're thinking that he will finally make these team play as a team and not just 11 individuals on the pitch, which is what we saw for most of this season and also under Pochettino and before. And that he will implement that style where there will be a collective strength and there will be a collective force. And that's, I think that's what they like. Stevie is right in a way. This is a difficult dressing room to manage. But maybe if Neymar leaves and Messi has left already, it's actually not that hard maybe. But it's a very eclectic. We mentioned all the languages. It's different. Some players have been there a long time, Marquinhos, Verratti. Others will just arrive. There will be a lot of changes again. So it won't be easy. But if Nagelsmann has learned from what happened at Bayern and what went wrong at Bayern, maybe that can be better. Certainly, if someone like Thierry comes with him, that will help. And just to finish on Thierry, what I didn't say earlier, yes, he wants to be a number one. But I think he also knows how much he would learn from being the number two of Nagelsmann. Even just one season, let's say he stays 1 year. Look at Dino Topmöller, who is the guy who was the assistant of Nagelsmann at Bayern, who then now is aiming for a number one job, might get the Frankfurt job. He will get a Bundesliga club. And that was on the back of working with Nagelsmann, learning a lot, and then having this good reputation around him. This the same. It could be the same for Thierry. That's why I think, as much as I think he will refuse it because of that, he wants that number one place, he's also quite tempted because he knows that Nagelsmann can bring him a lot tactically and continue his learning curve with him and then fly on his own and be a number one.
Does that make sense to you?
No.
Stepping stone as a coach?
No, what you're saying is correct. I just can't get away from the fact that to change a culture, the manager is the man that has to do it. Mm. And it's not going to take having a nice guy beside you. That's basically my point. The manager, in order for you to change a culture, you've got to get right into the middle of it and be there 24/7 and on people's back and convincing them and slapping a few around and encouraging a few. The manager that's going to change the culture there has to get his feet dirty, his hands dirty, and get right in amongst the middle of it. And from what I've been told about Nagelsmann and what Jules is saying, that's not what he does.
All right, we expect a lot of turnover at PSG this summer. And, of course, you can track it all over on our website, ESPN.com, where we've got our Transfer Talk page keeping you up to date on all the latest moves and rumors from across world football. Let's check out the top of Serie A as it ended up. See Napoli clinching their title. AC Milan finishing fourth, which means a Champions League spot. Yay! Wait a second. Because it's not all good news at AC Milan. No, Paolo Maldini is leaving as technical director, despite the fact that they got that Champions League spot. Jules, why?
Very simple, Sebi. Just different ideas between him and the ownership, the Red Bird group. Maldini was saying to them, listen, we've gone this far. We managed to win a title last season. This season we were far from Napoli. We did well in the Champions League, which is true, to be fair, but we need investment. We need more investment. We need bigger players, better players than going and get Origi or De Ketelaere or, you know, Malik Chao, for example, last season, or Vranks even, who were good young players, but nothing that would move the needle in terms of Milan going back to being maybe every year in the semi-final of the Champions League or every year fighting for the Serie A title. And Red Bird was saying, like, hang on, that's not what we do here. This is not what we do. We never did it before. We don't do it with our other clubs. We're not going to start doing that. We're not going to start investing 100 million on him, 50 on him, 70 on him. It's not what we do. So if you're not happy, you can go. And remember that Maldini, For the post-playing career, we thought, okay, this is great. He's going to come and at the club and we'll do something at the club, sporting director, ambassador, whatever. It took him a long time to finally get something from his club. This is his club. He played 23 years there. His dad played. His son played there. So, and yet, it took him a long time. And now, he was never going to stay in this role if he was not fully happy or on the same page of what the ownership wanted to do, and I don't think the ownership wanted to keep him if he was not on the same page. So they had to say goodbye.
Jules, elsewhere in Italy, we got Juventus, no Champions League, and now no Super League. Juve pulling out of the Super League. What does this even mean?
Yeah, this was expected in the sense that since the last boards all resigned, and especially Andrea Agnelli, who was the force not just behind Juventus being part of the Super League project, but behind the Super League project full stop. Agnelli not being there, the people who came in, very different views, and I don't think wanted to go on a war with UEFA, with FIFA, with other clubs. I don't think that was the idea. So this is not a surprise that they took a step back, very much, even more than a step back, on the Super League project. That was very much almost the baby of Agnelli, and with him not being there anymore, and clearly the club changing direction and moving away from the Agnelli years, this was again expected.
All right, great stuff. Jules will be back with us for today's edition of Extra Time. That's right, taking your questions from social media. You can check it out every day over on the ESPN FC YouTube channel. Do not miss it. Stevie and Shaka, along with Jules, for today's Extra Time.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We do have one more thing for you here on
ESPN. Oh, you see? You decide we have one more thing? What's the one thing? You choose what the one thing is. Go on, choose.
We
did hear earlier in the show from Clint Dempsey, of course, talking about Christian Pulisic and his future. We also, during that interview, had a chance to ask Clint Dempsey about his first professional manager, of course, Steve Nichol with the Revolution. Let's hear what Clint had to say.
Since you mentioned the start of your career with the New England Revolution, I can't pass up an opportunity to ask for a good Steve Nichol story. Of course, our colleague here at ESPN SC. I know you have some good Stevie stories. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I got a few of them. I mean, I could never understand him at the beginning when I was a rookie. He was talking. I didn't know what he would say. I had to ask people, like, what does he want me to do? Because his accent was so thick, especially with my Southern drawl. Just, it was hard for me to understand. But great coach. Someone who believed in me, him and Paul Mariner, may Paul Mariner rest in peace, were very instrumental in terms of helping me get to that next level and having that confidence of believing in myself, because they played me and saw what I was capable of doing. But also what he would do, he's the type of guy, you'd be on the plane and he would just like pass gas, like, and just, it was so bad, and you're just like, come on, bro, like what are you doing? Like, he was always like doing that kind of stuff, him and Paul. Also one day, like, he took his retainer out. I didn't know that, like, he was missing like four or five teeth, and I was like, this guy, man, he just is who he is. That's always respect about Steve Nichol. He's an honest guy. He was straight up with you, and him and Paul Mariner, I owe a lot to them for how successful I was in my career. So I always got time for Steve Nichol and Paul Mariner.
Do you know what? Is it a coincidence we're talking about legacies here with Benzema? And mine is passing gas. Hey.
It's accurate. Something's never changed.
I'm not denying it.
Right? I have never seen anybody sum up a person in three stories like that. He had a great influence on my career, but couldn't understand one thing he said.
Let's see if we can understand Stevie on Extra Time, which starts right now. Stay with us.
It's good.
Cheers, Clint.
Hey there, everybody.
Hey,
welcome to
Ray, Jules, we're on.
ESPN FC's Extra Time. Julian Laron joining us from afar.
You're sending Benzema a text.
Stevie and Shaka here in studio.
I was waiting for you guys. As if nothing. We never noticed anything.
Yeah.
Don't give Jules a hard time. He's staying up late, okay?
Nobody ever gives Jules a hard time.
In fact, the first question is for Jules from Eric. Start, bench, or drop? Zidane, Vieira, Platini.
Ooh. 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 Oh, man.
Zidane, Vieira, and Platini. Was Vieira the middle one, did you say?
Yes, yeah. Vieira's the middle one, yep.
Oh. I mean, Patrick is my guy. He won't be cross with me, so I will let him go. And then who do I start between Zidane and Platini? Well, I mean, one won the Euros for France, one won the World Cup pretty much on his own. I as much as I love Zidane and the technique and the elegance and everything you want, I think Platini was a very special player because, and so was Zidane, but in the sense that Platini was such a 9 and a 10 and an 8, and he was just so good at so many things. He could score, he could assist, he was seeing the game so well. I mean, if he'd played a little bit longer, he could have played as a 6 easily and just pinged the ball like Andrea Pirlo, for example. And it's just, I think that was so special at the time. Let's not forget, we are like early 80s, mid 80s. And I just think that Platini was something special. So maybe, just maybe, I start Platini, Ben Zidane, and sell Vieira.
Let me see. If you're Vieira and you're getting sold for those two, you can't really complain, no. Right? So I'm in total agreement there. I can't help but wonder, Jules, if among the French people, let's say over 30.
If it's a generational thing.
Right.
Saying, right.
Right. Let's say over 30. That I just kind of get the feeling that most would kind of fully agree.
If you're under 40, you start. You didn't really see Platini.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Plus two.
Yeah.
Okay, we go forward. Let's say under 30. You kind of think that football only started in 95, 96. You think nobody ever played football before that. But so
old man yelling at clouds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you're 35 enough, I get the feeling that most French would fully agree. Mm. I might not personally, but then it's not my call. But whenever you hear the French speak about football, Platini just seems to be the first name they mention.
I played against them a couple of times.
Yeah?
That was before football was there.
Yeah.
You see his face there?
Did you? What was that? Honest to God. You tell me that. You'd be honest. You went like that. Because it never even crossed your mind, did it?
What, did you play against him? Yeah, of course. That's your...
Oh,
you
see his face before that.
I've read your Wikipedia page. I know when you played. I didn't see it. You know, I'm not that old. I didn't watch it live.
If you had said, oh, you knocked me down with a feather.
I think I've seen some videos on YouTube. All right, for all, if Kane went to Madrid and for some reason didn't live up to the expectations...
No, that doesn't matter.
As I have clearly in Stevie's eyes, what do you think the most likely reason would be?
Well, I would definitely play... Oh, sorry, we moved on.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You having a laugh?
I'm staying out.
You got one guy here who actually played against Platini. Mm-hmm. After listening to everything that's been said, how brilliant he was. You got one guy who played against him.
What colour of underpants did
Zidane wear? You're moving on to that.
Are you having Platini over Zidane?
Yes.
Yeah? Just because you played against him or what?
Well, there's no need to be flippant.
Well, tell us about him. I've heard Jules' account.
Oh, does he mind?
To be fair, I would want to know.
Oh, God.
What would you like to know, Jules?
This is so good.
I would want to know, Stevie, how it was to play against Platini.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you're a sensible, rational person. Unfortunately, the guy in charge here, I don't know where his head is.
Let me tell you.
Platini could do all the things Jules was talking about, ping balls, all the rest of it. But I'll tell you what, you could not pick this guy up in the penalty box. He was invisible. He would appear from absolutely nowhere and stick the ball in the back of the net. And he didn't miss chances, by the way, this guy. If this guy was clean through, or if this guy had a chance, it was in the back of the net. Right, let's go to the underpants.
I mean, extra time, the only place you can get a breakdown of Platini from somebody that played against him.
There you go.
Of course, how fortunate we are on this set to be graced by your presence, Stevie. Yeah. For all, if Kane goes to Madrid...
Oh, goodness.
And an apology from Seb, yes. If Kane goes to Madrid and it doesn't work out, what's the reason why? What would be the most likely reason why? Jules, what do you think?
I mean, usually when it doesn't really work, it's either because there's an injury, and we saw that with Hazard, for example, or because you're struggling to adapt to a new country, a new culture, and you don't really integrate yourself. We saw that a bit with Bale, although Bale was certainly at times was a success, after not so much. We saw it with Michael Owen, for example, who never really got integrated in Madrid, in Spain. He stayed in the hotel the whole time that he was at the club, for example. And I think this is a big part when you go abroad and you change everything in your life, especially when you're so English like Harry Kane. He might struggle a bit to adapt. I don't think he would. I think he would be a great success there on every level. But usually when someone fails in a club like that, it's because he also struggled to adapt to new culture, new country, new language, etc.
Aside from injury, right, we put that to the side, like, is there any risk here that it won't work, Stevie,
no.
In your mind? No. You can't think of one reason that it wouldn't work?
No.
Chaka?
I concur with everything that Jules said. To that point, if you don't assimilate, and it's not just in going abroad, if you don't become a part of that club, of that city, Jules mentioned Michael Owen, similar with Newcastle. Didn't live in Newcastle, lived in Liverpool. I think struggled to settle.
Is that true about the helicopter?
I'm not a helicopter pilot myself, but that's what I heard.
You are a pilot, weren't you?
No.
He had one lesson, and then he got banned.
Yes.
That's right,
yes.
That's what it was. No, it's in the contract. Is there a player in the modern game now that you think is a replica of your style of play during your day? I feel like we've asked you this question before.
Yeah.
They definitely had. I said Haaland, but nobody took me seriously.
That's right, Howard University Shaka to Haaland.
Well, many, many versions of myself.
Oh, really?
Very similar to Haaland, yes. But carry on.
Yeah. No, Robertson at Liverpool absolutely would be able to play it in past years.
Is he similar to you? You feel like
who's similar?
Yeah, a little bit.
Who is similar to Steve
Nicholl? Description.
Yeah. Who wants
you
to claim?
You were more versatile.
Who wants to
right?
claim to be similar to Steve Nicholl?
You played a little midfield. Yeah. We don't really see that so much from him.
Yeah. No, but and it's the way he plays the game. He would be able to play in past years. Mm. You know, there are plenty that couldn't. You know, Alexander-Arnold wouldn't get a game the way the game was played years ago. Because he certainly wouldn't be a fullback, that's for sure, because you had to defend.
Right.
I would suggest Robbo. Robbo absolutely could play in past eras as well as playing in today's game.
How would he have fared against Platini?
Well, he's playing left back, so he probably wouldn't see that much of him.
Ooh, so good.
Yeah, good for Robbo.
Play the other side of the box. Good idea.
I won't read the Twitter handle that submitted our next one, but you can see it there on the graphic. Start bench drop players who retired this year. Gareth Bale, Mesut Ozil, or Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Oh.
Chaka, give me your 1, 2, 3 of those guys.
At their best.
Yeah,
let's take them at their peak.
I start Zlatan.
Okay.
I bench Mesut Ozil.
Wow.
And I drop Eden Hazard.
No, it was not Hazard, it was Bale.
Oh, Bale?
Bale it is.
Oh,
power.
Bale. What did I get Hazard in my head?
Oh.
Bale, Ozil. Oh, goodness me.
You going Ozil over Bale?
No, I'm okay. Going Bale over Ozil.
Okay. Stevie, you agree? Zlatan 1 is pretty easy, right?
I don't think it's that straightforward.
Okay.
Ozil was, at his best, Ozil was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to agree with Zlatan, and then go Ozil, then Bale.
Jules?
Thanks for asking me, by the way. Nice.
Just want to include you, bring you in.
Thank you.
What are you doing, Jules? What do you got here?
Yeah, I go Ibra. And Ibra is my guy as well, so Ibra always number one. And then after that, I agree with Stevie. It's quite tight, I think, between Ozil and Bale, depending on what you want and what you're looking for. I think I would go for Bale because Mrs. L is Welsh, and if she watches that tomorrow and I didn't put Bale in, you know, even on the bench, she kills me. So Bale and then Ozil.
You know what dawned on me during the show? PSG's declining culture started with Jules going to Neymar's parties.
Wow.
Everything was going okay, and then Jules showed up in the all-red party,
yep.
and that club has never been the same since.
It's clear. It's obvious.
To be fair, I'm amazed you remember the dress code, the red yeah. color. I'm impressed.
Everything went downhill. So if I'm Henri, that's the first thing I'm addressing. That's where it
what
all went wrong.
Neymar's party stays. Stay at Neymar parties.
Ooh, sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Okay, for Shaka, if Jules had run alongside you in your 5K race, what were the chances that he could have beaten you? After all, you did push him down a sand dune in Qatar.
Yes.
So if you couldn't assault him and there was just a straight up 5K, would you win?
So I couldn't assault him?
Yeah, you can throw him down to the ground.
If Jules did not beat me in a fight, some questions asked there. I was a goalie for a reason, just to start with.
I thought you were a Hollandesque striker 5 minutes ago. Whatever.
Yeah, but because of my change of pace.
Okay. Yeah.
Because of my change of pace. But I was a goalie for a reason because I hate running. And now I'm old. And now I'm an old goalie. Mm. So that's doubled up on how ugly it looks.
You were in Qatar with us, so you know how hot it was out there.
Yes.
And we would play the pickup games. Everyone else would walk back in the most physically like defeated fashion. Jules would jog back in the Qatari sun.
Wow.
I mean, it was madness, this guy. And then he'd go to the gym and he'd be doing
abs. He plugs in. There is no other way to explain it than somehow Jules has a plug somewhere.
Energizer Bunny, for sure.
Honestly.
He's doing 1,000 hits for TV from everywhere. Yep.
We go to the dunes. He's running around like a kid, up and down dunes, juggling. Oh, good bugs. Yeah, sometimes you just want to grab him and throw him down a dune or two. You know what I mean?
I've never felt that way about Jules. Yeah, we got a few more questions. I've been told I can skip ahead to the last one here from Stevie.
You just decided you could skip ahead.
I did, actually. I took my own creative
liberty. It was a unilateral decision.
You're not going to Jules' joke, are you?
Jules' joke?
The sandals, the Frenchman with sandals.
Want to tell us that? I think we got it in three times before we started.
Hey, Jules. What do you call a Frenchman that wears sandals?
I don't know, Stevie.
Philippe Flop.
For those wondering, that is the fourth or fifth time that we have heard that.
Well, it gets better every time you hear it. Philippe Flop. Philippe Flop.
Last question from Stevie's infected finger. For Shaka and Stevie, which duo offers better tactical analysis?
Oh, yeah.
Gavin Jules or Seven Herc?
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Do we actually have to see one of your parents actually knows what it's called?
Pick your poison.
Exactly. Yeah. Where are we going here?
Can I be honest? I don't think we have ever done a tactical segment on Football Americas. Maybe once with Osorio.
I'm going to go Dan and Kay.
Oh! Bye. So basically, people who don't even have a tactical show, better tactical analysis.
Dan and Kay. Yeah, Dan and Kay.
Final answer.
Final answer.
That's a ringing endorsement for Football Americas. All right, Jules, great to be with you as always. Stevie and Shaka, the pleasure all on this side of the table. That'll do it for this edition of ESPNFC's Extra Time, and we will catch you tomorrow.
Yeah, you got
Do not miss us.